Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Jahaira.
And this is Stephanie. And welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Happy Wednesday a todos.
Feliz miércoles.
I know. Not to make it about me again, but I'm finally better, you guys. Finally.
Honestly, yeah. I feel like it was a whole month.
It was a whole month, Steph. It was like since we went to the pumpkin patch, remember? Mm-hmm. Que sentí que me pegaron like the thing in my nose and then it just all went downhill from there. But now I'm better.
Yes.
And better. And shout out to our editor who edited out all the coughs and the sneeze and the sniffles from the past few episodes. And I feel like I was reborn full of energy. But anyways, we hope you're all having a good day so far, a good week, a good month. Ya menos acabamos el año, so let's try to end it on a positive note.
Yes, I believe this one is the first episode of December.
Oh my goodness. December already, yeah. Mm-hmm. El último del año. So let's make it count. Stephanie's face is like,
I know, I'm a little stressed.
she has a lot going on, y'all. So leave some love for her in our pages.
It's just finals. It's okay. I'll make it through.
Oh no, she's like, it's just finals. No, it's not just finals. It's finals with life.
Finals with life and holidays.
You know?
So
beautiful. But you got this. We believe in you.
Thank you. Send me positive vibes.
I love it.
Okay, but anyways, we're here for true crime. Hoy vamos a hablar sobre un caso sobre dos muchachos que fueron asesinados y todavía necesitan justicia.
Y incluso la mamá de Juan Antonio Orozco was the one to reach out to us to cover this case. She wants more attention and she wants us to ask you all to please share her son's name. Y como dijo Stephanie, ellos todavía necesitan justicia. So this is an open case and... You know, she's advocating. We don't want this to be another case to end up under the rug.
Sí, estuvimos hablando con su mamá, que se llama Silvia Rosales. Una mamá que busca justicia y una mamá que dice que su hijo Juan es toda su vida, su bebé. Y por eso sentimos mucho esos mensajes.
Yeah.
Y los recordó que nuestro podcast tiene una misión de tratar de ayudar a estos casos que no llegan a estar en las noticias y no tienen tanta atención y recursos.
Mm-hmm.
So le estamos pidiendo a nuestra audiencia fiel y a nuestra comunidad que por favor compartan este episodio para tratar de agarrarle un poco más de atención para que los investigadores realmente hagan algo.
And as usual, we will talk about sensitive topics. Queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
And again, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. Okay, let's jump in.
So this all starts on November 14th del año 2021, so it is kind of recent. And it was around 1 a.m., 19-year-old Javier Carachure Menchaca and 22-year-old Juan Antonio Orozco went to a street takeover in Compton. And if you're familiar, like the news calls it the street takeover, if you're here from the Bay or if, you know, they're called sideshows.
Mm-hmm. This case involves two young men, Javier Carachure Menchaca and Juan Antonio Orozco. Pero en este caso tenemos que decir que no hay tanta información. Habían poquitos artículos en este caso y por eso este episodio va a ser un poquito más corto, pero de todos modos es un caso que necesita la atención.
Mm-hmm. So Juan was described as adventurous, cariñoso, and hardworking. We read that he dropped out of school so he could help his family financially. And I feel like sometimes people are so quick to judge on, you know, people dropping out and stuff like that. But sometimes there's like a bigger motive, like a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. A bigger picture. And I think nowadays we're being more like open. The world is being more open to accepting that education isn't for everyone. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of routes for people to take.
Exactly.
And I also think like it's super sweet that, you know, he is helping his family financially. So that speaks volumes for him. Juan nació en Los Ángeles and su familia es de Jalisco, Mexico.
And the other person involved in this case era Javier. Y a Javier le encantaba el fútbol americano y también el fútbol I mean, who doesn't like a good soccer game? Mm-hmm. He enjoyed video games. Y él también nació en Los Ángeles y su familia era de Michoacán, México.
His sister Jessica dice que su hermano tenía un carácter serio y que era un poco tímido. And that it was rare to see him laugh out loud. And I feel like this description is so real. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like some people are introverted and are reserved, but overall like a good person.
Yeah. And actually, that's a good point, Steph. Like, I feel like a lot of people associate like a reserved person with a not so friendly mm-hmm. or like not so nice. But it's like, who says that they have to share their life with you?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. People choose to be more reserved.
Yeah.
And I think like this description is like a good one. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
So Javier's mother, Germalina, said that her son was smart and that from a young age, he wanted to get into the law enforcement. And after school graduation, he decided that he wanted to become a chef.
And this reminds me of like a kid and even adults changing mm-hmm. their mind and saying like, oh, I want to be this. I want to grow up to be this. I think this kind of shows a little bit more about who Javier was.
And yeah, I think it's normal to like want to change. How do you choose one thing, you know?
Yeah, how do you choose one thing for your whole life? Literally. No, you have the ability to switch, you know?
Yeah. So, esta es la historia. So, la historia tomó lugar en Los Angeles, specifically, como dijimos earlier, in Compton. And as we were saying earlier, Juan and Javier were at a sideshow, aka a street takeover. And just in case, if you're not too familiar with this, so it's basically like a big crowd, could even be hundreds of people. They get together and they meet up at a location, mostly like a street intersection. It's basically, you know, they take their cars and they do drifts and donuts and things of all that sorts.
Mm-hmm. It's like showcasing the cars. Yeah. And like the car ability and also like the driver's abilities as well. And it's super common in LA. And I think it's also super common here where we're located.
Yeah.
And it's just like mucha gente llega, están like parados. Mm-hmm. Mucha gente, like they're just standing there and super close to the cars themselves. You know?
And like it's a big thing. Like it's because we were saying like it could be hundreds of people and como dijo Steph, like they kind of block the street because like todos salen del carro and you're just like huddling in this one big circle and inside the circle are the cars mm-hmm. drifting and doing donuts and spinning. So yeah, it can get pretty intense, pretty big.
Yeah, pretty intense, pretty big. And it's like a whole culture thing. Mm-hmm. People go with their friends. They're all hanging out. Like you run into people and it's like all like a fun hangout.
Yeah.
You know?
I think more than anything, it is a culture thing mm-hmm. for sure. But unfortunately, you know, some can get out of control and there have been multiple incidents where they can end deadly. And like in so many ways, you know, like if the driver loses control and there's like so many people literally como stuff standing like feet away from the car, mm-hmm. someone can get hit with the car. Or unfortunately, you know, sometimes fights or maybe rivals and violence, fights, guns, mm-hmm. it all comes out sometimes.
Yeah, so in this case, it wasn't a car out of control spinning off into the crowd. This was gun violence.
And the reasons for this happening are still unknown.
And so Javier and Juan were at a sideshow and habían como 200, 300 personas allí. And they were sitting in their vehicle at the intersection of Pine Avenue and Bullis Road. Cuando alguien fue right to their car window, and they shot at them at close range.
And, you know, patrol cars came to the scene fairly quickly while many of the 200, 300 people that were there were fleeing the scene. And I can only, like, try to imagine, mm-hmm. like, you know, getting there and seeing, like, everything and, like, you know, people just running one direction, running the other direction. Like, it must be hard to get to the person that really needs help. Mm-hmm.
Cars going out this way, going mm-hmm. out that way, reversing.
Blocking.
Yeah. People figuring out, you know, how they're getting out of that situation.
Yeah.
Also, patrol cars coming in, the, you know, the gunshots. Like, mm-hmm. Imagine, like, it's chaos. But, you know, the investigators were able to get to the car and attend to Juan and Javier. But unfortunately, they weren't able to make it. And so the investigators then kicked off an investigation. And from the start, they were optimistic because, in the area, there were security cameras. And so they were optimistic about having that security video and trying to get answers. Pero desafortunadamente, la calidad del video was not great.
Mm-hmm.
And so investigators could not get any useful information out of it.
And at this point in the investigation, investigators said that they exhausted all leads. I don't know. I think you look at videos and you call it quits. I think that was, I wouldn't necessarily say that they exhausted all leads.
Yeah, that's one lead, right? Mm-hmm. It was a very promising one because, like, you know, having footage.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like just to say that and have the family to hear those words,
yeah,
is not what you want to hear, you know? And also we found in the articles that authorities do not believe that either of the young men were in a gang or had any gang affiliations.
Los Angeles County Sheriff's Sergeant Michael Austin said, and we quote, "We're now asking for the public's help. We know there were 200 to 300 witnesses there. None of them have come forward at this point," end quote. And I think, I mean, yes, there was a lot of people there, mm-hmm. but como dijimos, like, there's a lot going on. So it's like half of those people probably didn't even know what went down,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, or they didn't exactly see what went down.
Yeah.
Or I feel like a lot of the times they're also scared that if they speak up, like, what are the consequences that are going to come up with speaking up?
Yeah, to their own safety, yeah. to their family safety.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really tough. But I feel like there was 200 to 300 people and there has to be some kind of, like, rumors going around.
True. Yeah.
And I think investigators can maybe turn to that and investigate each one of them. Because you never know. I feel like maybe a rumor. I know they're rumors. Rumors are rumors, right?
Yeah. But
I feel like maybe it could lead to some half-truths, mm-hmm. you know? And maybe this can push the case forward.
Like, yeah. I think it's, yeah. Like, no toda la gente miró lo que pasó, but there has to be someone that did.
Mm-hmm. There is ways to, you know, like, submit information and not say your name, you know? Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people aren't aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of people are like, oh, that's probably... Like, they're just scared of it, you know?
And so investigators are really counting on someone to come forward. Currently, at this point in the investigation, all they know is that someone came up to their front passenger door and shot them through the window.
Investigators also don't know the motive. And as of now, authorities are offering a $20,000 reward for any information that leads to an arrest of a suspect in connection with the double murder.
Silvia Rosales, la mamá de Juan Antonio Orozco, reached out to us and asked us to do an episode because this case has not gotten the coverage that it deserves and that it should. And she wants her son to get justice. She was exchanging messages with us. Nos estaba mandando mensajes, even voice messages as well, asking us to do this episode and asking us, you know, to help her out in any way that we can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our platform isn't huge, but, you know, we have loyal listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're asking everyone to please share this case, especially for our listeners in LA. Share this case. And you never know. It can motivate someone to speak up.
And we definitely do encourage that if anyone listening knows anything about this case, to please speak up. You know, their families todavía buscan la justicia and they deserve the justice to know who would do such a terrible thing to their sons. So if anyone listening has any tips or any leads, you can submit a tip by phone. And like Steph was saying, it can be anonymous. You do not have to say your name. They're not going to press you for your name.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you have a tip, you can call 800-222-8477.
Yes. And if you call, you know, it's not gonna like track you. You know what I mean? As soon as you call, it's anonymous.
Yeah.
A los que los están escuchando, si saben algo sobre este caso, por favor, llamen a este número. Va a ser anónimo. Desde que usted llame a este número, no los van a conectar a su nombre. No les van a preguntar quién es. Va a ser completamente anónimo. Pueden llamar al número 800-222-8477.
And I think that's also like the emphasis on that. You know, like if you really truly do want it to be anonymous, like it will be anonymous.
Because
at the end of the day, it's like they're trying to get to who the people responsible for this were. They're not mm-hmm. trying to get the person giving the tip. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that was it for this week's episode. Like we said, it was on the shorter side. Casi no hallamos mucha información sobre este caso. And again, it's because there was a lack of investigation, mm-hmm. honestly. We do want to say a big thank you to Juan's mom for reaching out. Y, you know, como dijo Steph, like, this is the way that we can help, by sharing his story and hoping that you all share it and hoping that someone listening know something, or, mm-hmm. you know, one thing leads to another, pues.
Otra vez, muchas gracias a la mamá de Juan, Silvia Rosales, por mandarlos un mensaje, y esperamos que pronto Juan y Javier tengan justicia. Muchas gracias a todos por escuchar este episodio, and we'll see y'all next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.